You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Ontario Provincial McGuinty government has committed to greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets for 2014 and 2020. It's also stated that it will prioritize the development of renewable energy. At the same time, the Ontario Power Authority is implementing a strategy to revamp nuclear electricity plants and to build more. Greenpeace argues that nuclear is not the right solution and puts Ontario's climate change targets at risk. Sean Patrick Stencil is an energy and climate campaigner with Greenpeace Canada. He wrote the report, Better Never Than Late, The Climate Fallout of Ontario's Nuclear Electricity Plan. He's joined me by phone from Toronto. Hi, Sean Patrick.
Good morning.
Now, in broad strokes, what are the main components of the Ontario Power Authority's proposed long-term electricity plan?
The long-term plan that Ontario has put forward is basically the largest nuclear construction boom proposed in the world. They're aiming to have 14,000 megawatts of nuclear generation online in Ontario in 2025. Now, some would say, well, we have about 11,000 megawatts of nuclear generation right now in Ontario, so that's not that much. But what's actually happening in Ontario is the CANDU reactors are all reaching the end of their lifespan. And so if we don't do anything, all of the nuclear plants will shut down by about 2025. So to maintain Ontario's place in the mix, or nuclear's place in the mix, that requires rebuilding all the old plants and building new plants. And that the current estimate the government gives is $26 billion, but that's a huge underestimate. And what is the result of all this? Well, the government talks a lot about renewable energy, but this long-term commitment to nuclear plants, in fact, is in the way of developing renewable energy. They've capped the development of green power. So while right now we may be seeing some wind farms going up, after 2018, that development flatlines. And what we're saying is a better path forward would actually be to prioritize the renewables, and you wouldn't even need the nuclear plants.
Now, is that gap between the old and new act reactors what you're referring to as the electricity gap?
Yes. So in about 2014, Ontario's plants start going offline. And that begins with the Pickering B nuclear station, which is just west of where I'm standing in Toronto. Those plants go offline, and they have to make a decision on whether to rebuild it or not. And past experience has shown that rebuilding these plants isn't necessarily a reliable way of getting power. They tried this with the Pickering A nuclear station a few years ago. They had to abandon it after billion-dollar cost overruns. And what they're seeing now is the plant's actually not operating very well. Costs about 11 cents a kilowatt hour just to operate, and that's after the billions they've poured into it. So these are risky endeavors, but what the government's saying is, well, if we don't rebuild the old plant, we'll just replace it with a new plant later on. And what that does is opens up this electricity gap that we point to in the report. And that gap, the government is actually proposing to fill, one, either with increased fossil generation, or two, by running aging reactors longer than they should, and that raises a lot of significant nuclear accident risks.
How does the OPA's electricity plan then threaten the climate change targets for Ontario?
Well, there's two ways. First of all, is they've overestimated future nuclear performance. Ontario's had a really bad history with nuclear plants, not just in terms of the cost overruns and delays when building them, but also in their performance. They often need to be shut down. And what happens when you have an electricity system that's built on large power stations is you need other large power stations to back them up. So what happens in Ontario, which happened in 1997, is if you have to turn off a bunch of nuclear plants for safety reasons, you have to increase fossil generation, big plants, because they're the only thing that you can crank up that quickly. So in 1997, they had to shut down 8 nuclear stations. Greenhouse gas emissions went up 120%, and they still haven't been able to get all those plants back online. So what the government's proposing is, well, what they're assuming in their plan is that Ontario's nuclear plants over the next 20 years will perform better than they have over the past 20. You know, when you get down to numbers, they say they'll operate at 83% capacity. The historic number is about 72. And if you apply historic numbers to the future performance, Ontario will miss its greenhouse gas emission reduction targets in both 2014 and 2020.
What kind of risks, then, are also posed by the development of new nuclear plants?
Well, there's the risk, again, of increased greenhouse gas emissions. Their plan, again, is built on everything going according to plan. So this largest nuclear construction boom that I've talked about in the world, that assumes everything's on time and on budget. And that's never happened anywhere in the world. Right now, the only two plants in the Western world, nuclear plants in the Western world, that are under construction are in Finland and in France. And in Finland, that plant is currently 3 years behind schedule. It's only been under construction for 3 years. And it's also about $4 billion over budget. What does that mean? Well, every year that they can't get that nuclear plant online means, again, they're going to have to rely on some other large source, and that could only be a large coal or gas plant, to fill in that gap. So for right now they're targeting 2018 for new nuclear plants. If we just use the Finnish example, that plant won't be online until 2021. And in Finland, there's a very tangible example. They're missing their 2012 Kyoto target because of the delays of that nuclear plant.
So it's sounding to me like what the basis of your critique is that it's dependent on very large infrastructure, the OPA's that's the options they're looking at. Is that the case, and that's a large part of the problem that Greenpeace has with it?
Well, it's a large part of what's wrong with our electricity system in Ontario. Is big plants tend to be right across, they tend to be inefficient right from the get-go. So with a nuclear plant and a large coal plant, they only use the energy, they're only about 30% efficient. Most of the energy actually goes out the lake or up the smokestack. Then you lose electricity along the transmission lines. So we've built this really large, inefficient system in Ontario, and where you're seeing other jurisdictions that are more progressive go is to one that looks a lot more like the Internet. Instead of an industrial system, it's digital. So you have smaller sources of power spread out across the province that can back each other up. So if one of them goes down, it doesn't mean you're forced to rely on one huge coal plant to back it up. And there's a lot more resilience in that type of system. And what Ontario is looking to doing is basically building the system that it built in the 1960s. That's not good for the climate. It's also not good for building a green economy.
So is that internet-modeled system what you're proposing for the Ontario government actually undertake?
Definitely. And that's a week after I released my report, Canada's largest environmental organizations, Greenpeace, WWF, the David Suzuki Foundation, the Canadian Environmental Law Association, endorsed a report put out by the Pemina Institute showing how this electricity gap that my report pointed to could be replaced with quicker to deploy renewable energy options and local generation options. And that would forego the need for larger nuclear plants and avoid the greenhouse gas emission risks and nuclear accident risks that go with the McGuinty government's electricity plan.
In your report, you refer to something as a quick-to-learn factor. Can you explain what that's about?
That's a really good question, because our government officials, both federally and provincially, love to talk about the innovation agenda. I remember John Manley used to be called the Minister of Innovation federally. But they tend to invest in these really large projects that cost us a lot of money and don't really innovate that much. And what we've seen with the nuclear industry is it's the one energy industry, that's failed to bring down its costs over the past 40 years. Other energy industries, including the fossil industry, have managed to bring down their costs for stations. And why is that? Well, part of it has to go with they're quicker to deploy. In Ontario, we built one generation of nuclear plants back in the 70s, and they screwed up on all of them. There were growing pains with each plant as they built them, and we're living with those plants to this day. Now what they're proposing is to build yet another generation of plants that we're going to have the same screw-ups on. But as you pointed to before, these are large plants. You're kind of gambling your whole electricity future on these screw-ups. But with the renewable industry, aside from being cleaner and cheaper and you don't mind having them necessarily in your backyard, the industry's learning at a fantastic rate. And why is that? Well, if you put up a wind farm or a solar panel in 1 year and it doesn't work too well, well, you look at that panel, you figure out what went wrong, and you design the next generation to be better. And one, that brings up the effectiveness of the product, but two, it also lowers costs. So with solar photovoltaic, if we take that as an example, right now it is, in fact, quite expensive compared to traditional sources. But RBC Financial, so this isn't Greenpeace, so the granola is saying this, estimates that in about 2012, that electricity source will be cost competitive with the traditional fossil generation in about 2012. That's an amazing rate of learning and innovation. And what Ontario's electricity plan assumes is that there will be no rate of learning, and renewables won't be getting better than they are today. And I think, frankly, the government's been quite shocked by when they opened up the door to some renewables, by how many offers were out there. This summer, they shut down their renewable standard offer program. So that was for contracts for solar farms and wind farms, because there were so many entrepreneurs in queue to build projects because they could see they could make money off it. So this learning rate is one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough, I think, in the green energy industry, and it's one of the reasons why Canada's beginning to lag behind other jurisdictions such as Germany and Spain that have developed a huge workforce and economy based around these industries.
It's interesting because a lot of your critique here seems to be based on actual structural elements within the nuclear industry and problems within it. But should we also be building nuclear reactors at all when you consider the long-term storage issues around nuclear waste and the likes?
Oh, I'm fully in agreement with that. We lose track, again, that there are 40,000 tons of high-level radioactive waste in Ontario or in Canada right now that we don't know what to do with. The industry has told us since the 1970s that they'll find a solution, and they haven't yet. They say they're looking for a willing community to take it, and that'll take 35 years to find. So this is not, you know, if we're to take a precautionary environmental approach, we shouldn't be producing waste that we don't know what to do with from the get-go. And from an environmental perspective, that rules nuclear out from the very get-go. I think in Ontario, we're in a bit of an argument with a government where we need to see a change in our energy planners. These are the same people that developed the energy plan in the 1970s, and they tend to dismiss those arguments, but they're definitely the arguments and reasons why nuclear shouldn't be an option from the start.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me about this. It's been a very interesting discussion.
It was a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Sean Patrick Stencil. He's an energy and climate campaigner with Greenpeace Canada. He wrote the report Better Never Than Late, The Climate Fallout of Ontario's Nuclear Electricity Plan. And you can find a copy of this at the Greenpeace website. And also, I'm sure there's opportunities to get involved in their campaigns.